She's the media maven with her finger on the pulse of the heartbeat of Chicago. If it's happening in the Windy City, she's got you covered. Now here's the lady that puts the fun in fundraising, Candid Candace Jordan.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Candid Candace, the podcast. This is your go-to source to celebrate the city that we love. Isn't that right, John St. Augustine?
Correctamundo.
Yes, exactly. And what a glorious day for Good Friday.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And guess what?
What?
This is really big news. For the fourth year in a row, our Finches are back to our patio.
Is that Peter Finch and his family?
Yes, Peter Finch and the family. But is that the cutest thing in the universe?
Yeah.
I love how nature works. You know, we've got an old, dirty, dusty Christmas tree, phony Christmas tree out on the patio that we can't move because these birds keep coming back. So
well, I feel it's good that you take, you're kind of like Mother Nature yourself, right? Remember that commercial with the butter and the whole thing or the margarine? Yeah, that's
right. Mother Earth. And, you know, we can't ever move it because the birds are back. But, you know, it's like a sense of renewal, just like Easter. I mean, this is very, it's a appropriate day for them to return.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I'm extremely excited. We have an old friend of both of ours, I believe, on the podcast today. And Fred Weintraub has been in the broadcasting and media business for 40 years. I mean, he was at age 30, the youngest general manager of a major market television station here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's won 2 Emmys. He's got a Lifetime Achievement Award. I mean, he's been inducted into the Chicago Public Schools Hall of Fame. And recently, he just won a really terrific, he was presented with the 2024 Distinguished Service Award presented by the City of Chicago and the Chicago Public Schools for his role in promoting high school sports.
Yep.
And I mean, he's done it all, really. And he flits between Chicago, London, Singapore, Tampa. I mean, I just love your lifestyle, Fred. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, I'm thrilled to be on with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, absolutely. And I know that, you know, you spend so much time in London. And I remember on your show, I used to come on your show, actually, and we would chat about the Royals because you're kind of an expert on this. I mean, you appear on a lot of radio shows, talk shows and everything discussing the Royals because you've lived there for so long. So, you know, the state of affairs with the Royals right now is a little topsy-turvy, don't you think?
Well, it's always topsy-turvy, and in part, I get teased all the time, and I tell people all the time, it's the story that keeps on giving. Because when I first started, when we first moved to, you know, I feel very fortunate that, as many people know, I'm a Chicago kid, so my first love, my first home is always going to be in Chicago. But over the last 15 years, because of circumstances and other opportunities, we spent 15 years in London, and so going back and forth, I've had the unique perspective of becoming kind of a royal watcher. And as you both know, I'm a journalist. I'm a sports producer by trade. And whether you're a producer of sports, you're a producer of news, you're still a news junkie. And so one of the stories is, of course, the Royals. And I can remember the first big story that I did was William and Kate's wedding. And that it was like, go into the fire with your first really big national story, international story. And that's how it all kind of started. And then I had said to myself 2 years ago when Queen Elizabeth, the late Queen Elizabeth II passed away, that will be the end of the road in this particular part of my adventure, even though we live in London part of the year. But it really isn't, because Prince Harry and Meghan keep getting themselves into trouble and getting into the news, and we can talk about that, and we can talk about Andrew. But really the story right now is Kate. And so, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. We all wanted to know a couple weeks ago, why was Kate in the hospital for 14 days for serious abdominal surgery? And she was at
seems like a long time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And she was in the most exclusive hospital in London, as the Royals are. So, you know, she was getting the best care that she could possibly get. But you know, you still wonder because they've got hospital suites within all the palaces, and obviously they can get the best medical care. Something just didn't seem right. And then a week ago, this bombshell came out that we were all surprised by, that Kate came out and said that she has cancer. And, you know, it's been, you know, here's the learning lesson of life, at least from a journalistic standpoint. Yep. So we all did our bashing of, we're not getting all this information. And Kate doctored up a picture of herself with the kids, of which I think she was being fairly candid and saying, look, I'm an amateur photographer. I want to take a picture of my kids, which she does all the time.
Doctor their pictures? Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? Everybody uses Photoshop. And so she used Photoshop, and we in the media and as royal watchers probably made a bigger deal out of it than
it should have been.
Than it absolutely should have been. And then, you know, you see this swirl of media attention, particularly social media attention, and these conspiracy theories. And there's clearly a big difference between the media in the UK and the media in the United States and the paparazzi as well. And and I would say, well, I think journalists are reasonably good and tough in Chicago and in the United States. They go crazy in the UK, both in a good way and not in such a good way.
I agree. So look at Princess Diana.
And that's its own story of Princess Diana, which we could talk about it. But in Kate's particular case, they had to figure out a way. How are we going to manage this situation? And so Kate, at first, the journalists were like, well, was the royal family lying to us when they said that she had the surgery, she came out fine, and there was not a presence of cancer? Well, I think when she made that announcement immediately, that there probably wasn't, they didn't know yet because they didn't see all the images. And as I say this, I am not a medical expert, and an expert, and most journalists that are covering the royals are not medical experts, but clearly within a few hours or a few days or some point, they saw cancer within as they had done the surgery. And so just like anybody else, the medical community had to figure out what's going on here privately with Kate and with William. Now, the other part of the story, which doesn't say much from a social media standpoint, and here's where I think it's kind of a lesson in life for all of us. Kate and William's first concern was their kids. They have young kids, even though one is going to be the future king of England in George, who's, I think, 10 years old. But you've got George, Charlotte, and Louis, who's 5 years old. And just like anybody else, you got to figure out, how are we going to have these conversations with our kids? And I think that when people get a diagnosis of whether it's cancer or whatever the serious, you know, issue is, we all freak out because we're human beings. So you go through your phase of, I'm freaking out here, we're freaking out as a family, what do we do? And then you go through phase two, which is, how do we tell our kids? Now, the difference between William and Kate, as you and John both know, is she's one of the most beloved, photographed, talk about, seen public figures in the UK and really around the world. And with William, the future of royalty. But she had to decide, and she did, that I got to take care of my kids first. So no matter how big she is as a royal, she was going to take care of her family first. And you got to give her a lot of credit because she went into that video, which she could have just as easily had William at her side because he's going to be the next king of England. Right. She didn't do that. She took the brave approach and I think was pretty candid in exactly what she said, when she learned what she learned, and what the process was going to be. Now, as I say that to you, you also know that Prince Charles is fighting a cancer battle. And so there are a lot of health issues that are going on. And as we watch the last couple of years of the late Queen Elizabeth's life. It was always, she's not going to be at this event because she had mobility issues. Well,
in the end,
when it all came out, she didn't have mobility issues. She had bone cancer.
Yeah.
But they never came out to say that. And her generation of royalty believe that you don't talk about those kind of things and they're private. I think Charles and for sure Kate have thought, now we're going to have the public conversation. In part because it's the, you know, they are of a generation where they want to be more candid. And they also want to help more people. If you look at the UK data, you know that a ton of 15% more people are going to the NHS sites in the UK to look up these, you know, all these kind of cancers. And maybe
what's NHS stand for?
NHS is the National, I don't remember exactly what it is, and I don't want to give you inaccurate information, but it's the National Hospital Association.
Oh,
it's
okay,
the hospitals in
like a
in
hospital hotline. Got it.
Yeah, I mean, it is the whole hospital system in the in the UK, and to see the those numbers go up by 15%, you
it's
know
huge.
That they're making a difference. You
yeah,
know that they're making
huge.
A difference.
You know, when she came out and did that in that beautiful video with that beautiful face of hers, I mean, I thought it was just so incredibly brave, and she was such a she's so filled with class, and the way she presented her condition was really absolutely unbelievable. And I think, well, first of all, she's got Queen written all over her, I mean, especially at this latest problem. But another thing that I thought about was this came right after Charles's diagnosis of cancer. And I'm just wondering if a consideration was made, you know, oh my God, you know, here's the king failing, and now here's the future queen failing, and you know, if this that would what effect that would have on all the people thinking, oh my God, well, the monarchy's falling apart, you know, what are we going to do, what'll happen if they're all gone or they all have, you know, health issues, and you know, maybe it's a good time to get rid of the monarchy. And as a matter of fact, I saw a recent video of Camilla, who had taken Charles's place at an early Easter service, and she was standing outside with the vicar. And the whole crowd, and they had this on the video, was yelling, "Down with the crown." And she just smiled and stood there and then eventually walked into the church. But, you know, I mean, there's such a pro and con of feelings about this. And, that, you know, to find out that, you know, these people, you know, they're human beings just like the rest of us and get cancer and get sick and everything else might give people thoughts that they wouldn't want them to have. I mean, so, you know, maybe that was even part of the consideration to come out and be so candid. I don't know.
Well, I would say that the real consideration wasn't, you know, they're always going to get people who are anti-royalists. And when I first got to London, I was like a lot more skeptical in thinking, you know, I get it that it's the coolest ceremonial thing that you can see, which is why in part America loves the royals, because they do pomp and circumstance better than anybody else in the world does it. But what I don't think people realize at times, and I had to learn in covering them, was that they generate millions and millions and millions of pounds/dollars for hundreds of charities. They're the Candace, they're kind of like you in the UK and getting involved in these organizations. And anytime they become a patron of those organizations, they're raising a ton of money. And they're not just doing 100 or 200 charities. I think Charles alone does, you know, between 300 and 500. And they are raising a ton of money. Besides the tourism value, there is service to what they're doing. And so while they don't have real power from a governmental standpoint, they have power behind the scenes in meeting with the prime minister as the king does every week and raising all this kind of money. But that all being said, you're still going to have a whole group of people that are going to say, what do they do? We should get rid of them. I don't think there was any conspiracy. And Charles got sick. He went in for a prostate issue, as many men do of his age. And then they found out that he had cancer. I think it's probably more unusual that a 42-year-old woman would go in and they would find something. So I wouldn't relate one to the other.
Yeah.
But it was very clear before Kate made the announcement that she had a private lunch with King Charles, and they talked about, I'm sure King Charles, if I were in that room, which no one would, no journalist or Royal Watcher would ever be present at any of those kinds of private functions.
Oh, sure.
Because don't forget, not only are they the monarchy, but they also are a family. They also are a family. Yeah. And I'm sure.
Just with a better house.
Yeah, just with a better house. You are right. I think that, you know, the first thing that King Charles said was, Catherine, I'm really proud of you because of how you're going about this and what you're doing. And you saw in the United States when one of the, I don't know if they all did, but, you know, you watch late night TV and you watch the talk show hosts, and of course they're making jokes about everybody, which is their business, and that's what they do. But one of them came out and apologized and said, I'm really sorry for bashing Kate now that I know this.
Which one did that?
It was the person who is on late night on CBS.
Is that?
Since I'm in bed already, let's guess. It's not Kimmel. Is it Jimmy Fallon? Probably Kimmel, right? On CBS?
No, it's not Kimmel. It's who's the political guy on.
Is it Colbert?
It's Colbert. Yes, it's Colbert. So he came out and said, I'm really sorry. And I thought, you know what?
Good for him.
Once again, good lesson for all of us. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
We all do things that we would do differently, and he had the guts to come out and apologize and say,
I wish more people would do that and admit their mistakes. We'd be a lot better off.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm a huge fan of the royal family. I have no qualms about it. I would never bash them for any reason. I mean, I followed Princess Diana's wedding from beginning to end. I mean, I have been a fan forever. One time we were in London, and you know how the royal cars have the little flags or something on them?
Yes.
And I saw one, and I'm telling you, just the sight of the car made me I got goosebumps. So I am a huge fan of the royal family. And why do you think people in the U.S. care about the royals? Because there's
I think we
just love them here, don't we?
Yeah, I think in part because we don't have that kind of royalty in America. And to your point of seeing the little flag with the car, I can still remember 15 or 16 years ago when I saw Queen Elizabeth come down the stairs of St. Paul's Cathedral, and you hear the royal trumpeters doing their thing. It was a thrilling experience. It never gets old. And if you're walking around London at any point, and you're near, and I know a lot of your fans, Candace, have, you know, spend time in London or have toured London. If you're anywhere near Buckingham Palace, you know that right now is kind of the office for King Charles, but he lives at Clarence House, which is a couple blocks away. Mm-hmm. And so as you can imagine, I get a ton of people are like, Fred, I'm headed to London. What should I see? And the two things I say to them are, one, you want to see it. You want to go to the Churchill War Rooms to see where Churchill conducted the war underground. But the other thing you should watch out for is, watch out for the green motorcycle guys who are the outriggers who literally, if they block off a street, you can guess that one of the royals is about to come by in their car. And you always know where King Charles is, because anywhere he goes, anywhere a queen goes, anywhere, if it was Queen Elizabeth or it was King Charles, their royal standard, which is their flag, will fly above Clarence House or will fly above Buckingham Palace. And if they're in their car, obviously it's going to be on their car. So if you're in London at any point over the next few weeks and you see traffic stopping and you see the motorcyclists, of which there are, you know, two to four, then you will see the maroon Bentley. There's a good chance it's King Charles. And it's so different than in America, because when you see a president in America, as we've all seen or covered, you see 20 police cars, and then you see 20 other cars before you see the beast, which is the limousine. And then you see another 20 cars after that. It's not like that in the UK. It's clearly the four motorcyclists, then it's the Bentley, then it's one or two cars after that. There's probably a helicopter in the air. And when you talk to their version of the Secret Service and say, why are you guys so different than we are in that? Yeah. Because if it was Biden or it was Obama and they were coming to the UK, you would not be able to get anywhere near to see what was going on. And their answer back to me, and obviously they're not going to answer the question, is, trust me, we are protecting the king and the former queen, but we just don't do it in the way that you guys do it. And so it's a whole different philosophy, or it's a whole different perception in how they go about it. But interesting to see anytime you can.
I got to jump in here because I'm missing the piece of DNA that like gets excited about the Royals. I just got to come out and say it. It's really interesting to me to watch, but I don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning like Candace would to watch anything across the pond. But what I have come to respect and try to understand is that over time, with the advent of social and unsocial media, the difficulty that these people live their lives under is like other in the world, number one. Nope. And because of the genetic lottery, or you fall in love with somebody, next thing you know, you're the princess. I don't know how you could prepare anybody, Fred, for this kind of scrutiny in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, Prince William's a great example in that he dated Kate for a long, long time before they got married. And in part, I think the reason he did that is because knowing that he was going to be a future king of England, he had to make 99.9% sure that this person, not only was he in love with her, but this person could handle the pressures of life under a microscope in a different way than anybody else. And the royal family will tell you, and Queen Elizabeth was a great example, as is King Charles, that they will put duty over family first. Now, as generations evolve, you see that William is trying to figure out a mix of both, because clearly he's going to put Kate and his kids.
And he's not succeeding. Not William. I meant Harry's not succeeding. Sorry.
No, Harry's not. But William will succeed Charles as the King of England. And William is clearly putting his family first. Now, John, to your point about, I don't get what's the big deal about the royal family. There are a lot of people that feel that way. And I could sit here and, you know, read you the list of the million charities and the amount of money that.
Yeah, I get that part. That's good. Yeah, I get that.
That they raise.
Yeah.
But they do a lot of good behind the scenes. But it's a tough life. Just look at King Charles' schedule and Princess Anne, who's the Princess Royal, who is Charles's sister. They're doing between 400 and 600 appearances a year. And when I say appearances, I mean charity events a year. And so that means that they're working a ton of time and at 72 and at 75 years old, they're not laying back on, you know what, it's time to spend a little time in wherever your favorite relaxation place is.
Right.
Just
I
not like that. So you got to.
You don't retire from the royal family.
I definitely respect that. I guess, you know, like I said, I see them because, you know, the seat of power is behind them. Now, Winston Churchill, I'll go spend time and drink bourbon with that guy any day of the week. Yeah. So I look at them as this figurehead. They do a really good job at it, but it is a really interesting dynamic. And the thing that I've come to respect above all of it is what you said, Candace, Fred, you said, they're a family. They're a family on full public display 90% of the time. Right. Not many people could pull that off.
It really would be tough to pull that off. And just like all of our families, there's dysfunctionality somewhere down the road, and we can have a conversation about the dysfunctionality of the royal family. they're like every other family. Yeah, there are
Exactly.
people that screw up in big ways in the royal family. And can you imagine, like in Prince Andrew's case, the Queen had no choice based on what was going on to get him out of the public eye, remove
Right.
all of his titles. Now,
Right.
my opinion is he deserved it. You know,
Mine
some of
too.
the, you know, in addition to the fact that I believe that his behavior was beyond what's appropriate. He also did some ridiculous things in going on television and saying, "I remember that I was at a Pizza Express 15 years ago, and so
Right. Right.
I couldn't have been where I'm accused of being."
Yep.
And I thought to myself, "Oh my God, who is running your media? Who
Yeah.
is standing there as your PR person? Because that's almost the most ridiculous comment
Exactly.
that you could make." And then I thought to myself, "Fred, do you remember what Lou Malnati's you were in 15 years ago? Probably not."
No, yeah, exactly. Well, he not only was he a bad, bad guy, he was also an idiot. So those two things together should take your mind out of the running. They definitely did the right thing. And you know, I'm sorry, this Harry and Meghan thing, I just do not think he should ever be allowed back into the royal family. I think that, you know, they made their choice and their decision, and now that they see it's not working out as well as they'd hoped, they want to come running back with their tails between their legs. No, I would say no. So what do you think about that whole situation?
Well, I think one, maybe Harry moved a little too fast in
Definitely.
marrying Meghan,
Yes.
and not, you know, I'm not suggesting that her intentions weren't in the right place. But she's an example of, she really didn't know that, and she said she didn't know that the pressure was going to be the kind of pressure that it was. And it's sad because not only did Harry, you know, for whatever reason, have to move away from his family, of which you can list the reasons that, in addition to Meghan, you know, Harry's scarred because when your mom gets, you know, killed in a car accident when you're a little kid and you have to walk behind your casket to Westminster Abbey, it's just a scarring situation that never goes, it never goes away. And so it's tough. And to not have a relationship with William at this point, and you know, the reason he doesn't have a relationship with William is because I think, and it's obviously speculation on my part, but I think it's fairly accurate, is William can't trust him. Because
Right.
if he had a private conversation, you would hope if you're having a private conversation with your sibling
Yep.
that it wouldn't be getting out in public and you wouldn't be
And
doing a
on Oprah's
special
interviews, exactly.
on the Oprah show and all that. And so it's got to be heartbreak because the one person that should have had William's back would have been Prince
Is
Harry.
exactly. That is very sad, just the two of them with their mom and all those experiences they had together. But and I also agree that he pulled the trigger on this Meghan way too fast. And my last comment is, I think he looks an awful lot like James Hewitt.
You know what? I've heard that. I've read that. I'm gonna just assume that, you know, that he's, you know, nobody ever knows what's really going on. And you know, King Charles loves him, but I think King Charles said to both of the boys after Prince Philip's funeral, he said, you know, as I approached my last years of life, knowing that eventually he was going to be king, he didn't want to be aggravated by his two kids. So he kind of said to them, you know, can you imagine one's a prince and one's going to be a future king? And dad has to, you know, sit them both down and say, please don't kill me in my golden years with all this aggravation. And yet it's still, William is really hurt by this. I mean, that's what this is boiling down to. Will they ever repair will the bridge ever get repaired in this particular relationship? Right now, I would say I doubt it. But you can also look at Queen Camilla, who was 30 years ago the most hated person
That's
in the
true.
UK because a lot of people in the UK thought that she wrecked the relationship with Diana and
She
Charles.
did.
Now,
She did.
she did, but
Yeah.
more of the story, in my opinion, is Charles and Diana should never have gotten married. Because
exactly.
They weren't really in love with each other.
Man, I gotta tell you, we're going deep now. I mean, Fred is down the friggin' royal rabbit hole here. Go, go.
I am, but you asked to talk to the royal watcher, so what would you expect?
I agree with you, Fred. Go ahead. That is true. I agree. Yeah, they
he married
never
the wrong
married.
Person, and yep. You can look through history, and it's pretty clear that they said, Charles, you need to marry someone who's young, and you need to marry someone who's a virgin. And that's how that all happened.
And when how the many reality, of those are left in the world?
Yeah, yeah. And here's the reality. He was in love with somebody else. He was in love with Camilla. And that's probably who she would, he should have married.
Yeah,
and
right.
To take it a step further, while Diana did a lot of good for the world, and certainly her death was tragic, she was no angel in the media. She
no.
played the card of boo-hoo me, I'm getting
yeah.
screwed by the royal family.
Yeah.
Yet she was a master manipulator of the media when she wanted to be. When she wanted to be. So it's not all, you know, roses on either side.
No,
and
right.
my final point on it is really that, as I said, Queen Camilla was one of the most hated people in the country. Look at her now. Look at her
yep.
now. She
yep.
has certainly rehabilitated herself. And while King Charles can't do as many public events right now because of the
yep.
cancer, and while William is watching out for Kate and doing it, Camilla at 76 is stepping up and doing what she has to do because,
right.
one, she feels that responsibility as queen. Two,
yeah.
she's in love with Charles. And so when I get asked, can Harry and William ever repair their relationship? The answer is just look at Camilla and never say never.
No, that's really well put, and I agree with every word. Do you think Charles has the ability to be a great king?
I think yes, I do. I don't think he'll have a long reign, not because he's so sick that he's going to die, but because he's in his mid-70s. He wasn't like Queen Elizabeth, the late Queen Elizabeth, whose
yeah.
dad died when she was 26 years old.
Right.
He's had the longest internship of anyone in the world, being
right.
the Prince of Wales, going into being king. So I think he'll be fine. You know, if you just watch him. He has love in his heart. He's a
yeah.
smart guy.
Yeah.
And so I think he'll be, for this period in history, I think he'll be fine and he'll do a really effective job.
You know, you mentioned his long internship. Do you think for that reason that he might at some point, just turn over the reins to William willingly?
No, I don't think that will ever happen. And Queen Elizabeth is a great example.
Uh-huh,
in 96,
yeah.
people would say she can retire. The Queen of Sweden retired. That will not happen in the royal family. Now, that
uh-huh.
doesn't mean that if King Charles gets really sick that they wouldn't put William in as a regent to take over the day-to-day
uh-huh.
responsibilities. But I don't think I can't think of any circumstances, in my opinion, where he would give the crown to William. And
yeah.
he doesn't, as a dad, he doesn't want William to have it right now, in part because he wants William to have a life with his kids and
That's
be able
true,
to play
yeah.
soccer with
yeah.
his 10-year-old, even if security is around. And once you become king, your life is not what it was before.
That's true.
So
That's
William
true.
Doesn't want to be king at this particular point, in part because he doesn't want to lose his dad, and in part because he wants to see his family grow up and spend some time with them in as normal kind of way as you can. And William and Kate have done a really good job of being really good parents. And you see stories and you read them all the time of where Kate will bring the kids into a bookstore and buy them books. She doesn't send the Secret Service guys in to do it for her. Now, there's a service there's a police officer there with them. But I think they
yeah.
try to be a good mom and dad. That's my sense.
Oh, I think so, too. And, you know, Kate reminds me a lot of Princess Diana. She was very hands-on. You see all those pictures of her in theme parks with the kids riding on the rides. So I think that I think William definitely married the right woman.
She did. I think so too. And look, Diana took her kids to McDonald's.
Yeah,
what more
exactly.
What more do you have to say?
Enough said there, right, exactly. Well,
and
Fred, what,
Candace, just, I yeah. just wanted to say this one other thing.
Yeah.
NHS is the National Health Service, so that's the official title.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you. Because I did read that somewhere, and they never explained what it is. It's like they think everybody's supposed to know it, but
yeah,
I did not.
Yeah.
But, Fred, you are definitely somebody that I need to keep in touch with, and we want to have you back because, you know, I do love the Royals, and I'm not ashamed to mention, admit it, unlike John, of course.
Oh, I admitted that I don't, but that's...
I will, okay. Well, I'm going to give you some of my DNA then.
I can't wait. So here's the thing. All this conversation makes me want to go watch The King's Speech. Now that, to me, was a great movie.
That was an incredible
Colin
movie.
Firth.
Oh,
yes.
God, I love him. So love him. Well, Fred, when you come back and join us at a later date, I hope, and tell us what's on your agenda. What's coming up for you next?
So what's on my agenda is in my other life where I'm a sports producer in Chicago. I've just finished my part of the season. So I'm literally hiding out in Tampa right now for a couple weeks, and then we're going to head back to the UK, but I feel really privileged and blessed in that I get to divide my time between Chicago, Tampa, and the UK. I get to see all my media friends. I get to do the work that I love to do. I get to report on the Royals from wherever I am in the world, and I so appreciate you guys having me on your show.
Good stuff.
Good stuff and things I did not know about. So you definitely do have your finger on the pulse of what's happening over there in London. I'll have to ask you next about your time in Singapore and Tampa and everywhere else. So you've got lots of news.
Anytime you want to, I'm available to both of you. I don't say it enough, but it doesn't go unnoticed as I read about it from anywhere in the world of, you know, in both of your individual areas. The good work that you're doing for Chicago. When a lot of people talk a good game about, you know, what they're doing, you guys actually do it. And so I'm really proud of what you guys do. You're not doing it because, you know, your branding gets increased, but in the end, I look at people that I want to work with or be on their podcast or whatever, because before any, no matter how big they are from a media standpoint, I care what's in their heart. And if they're good people, then I'm willing to go the extra mile and do whatever I can to help them, help Chicago. And you guys certainly fall in that category. So thank you for having me on. And anything you need, you know, is whether it's whatever it is, you know how to get me. Get me when you want to talk to me.
Thank you. Well, Fred, you're right back at you. You're another one. You got the biggest heart in all outdoors, and so your work is equally noticed. And thank you for saying that. And we'll get back.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, Fred.
Hey, honey. Thanks for everything.
You have a nice holiday.
Take care. Safe travels, pal.
Yeah.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Wow.
Oh, God, I love him.
You know, I have to tell you, I always kind of wait till he's gone because there's so many stories and back scene stuff. I know we're going to talk about events and things, and I got to catch you up on how the event we did last Saturday went. Yes, but he was part of all that.
Oh,
go
was
figure.
He really?
Yeah.
Well,
so,
tell me, I know that you just celebrated your 10th Bulldog Bash for Carl Schurz High School, which you are always so supportive of.
Yeah.
I think you probably had a record breaker this last time. So
we
that's
did.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about. Tell me.
So last Saturday night, we had our 10th bash, as you mentioned, and we had record turnout, people coming from all over the country, a few from out. We had people from Scotland there, and it was fantastic. So, you know, it's one of those things we work on for months. We now stagger it every other year, and we do it at the Best Italian in Chicago, La Villa, over at Pulaski and Addison. Christine and her staff there are fantastic, and they had the room set up and the balloons and all that stuff, the pomp and circumstance. And when we do this event, we always have donations that are given to us by various people, organizations, athletes, whatever. So as I mentioned, one of them is the Lunch with a Legend, and our buddy Rick Kogan offered himself up for that. And he's like, if I'm worth a couple bucks, that's a good thing. I'm like, well, he went for well over $250 to go to lunch with Rick Kogan at the Billy Goat.
Oh, wow.
Which is fantastic. And
epic.
Our friend Rich Cause, a.k.a. Svengoolie, every year donates something. Well, this year he through a little prodding from our former guest here, Mr. Weintraub, you know, sent over this comic book. There's only 1,000 of these ever printed, and it's Rich, a.k.a. Svengoolie, meets the DC Universe. So it's, you know, Superman and Wonder Woman and the Green Lantern. So these are like a collector's item, and he signed it. And exactly. So I'm looking ahead online at what people are doing with this and how much it's worth. And it's upwards of $1,500 to $2,000 because it's a limited edition and signed. So I have this, you know, so it comes in the mail. And I called Fred right away and I said, you know, thanks. And Rich reaches out personally either. We went back and forth. But Fred did a little end around just to make sure things got done. And I appreciated that. And so at the event last Saturday, I'm bidding on the same donation I got from Rich for nothing. Because I know what this is worth. I'm a huge fan. I've been watching him on television for years doing his Svengoolie thing on Saturday night. So excited for his success.
Great.
So, yeah, so I bid on this thing and I drop out at like around $500. Like, I'm out. Well, somebody else wins it and gifts it to me.
No.
Yes.
Way.
I was so touched by that because of, you know, John, the work you do and all. I was just, so here it is, sitting just a couple feet away in a frame. Yeah.
That is unbelievable. What a nice person. Well, give that person a shout out.
Yeah, well, a shout out to the Shurs. I'm not told I would get their name out. They wanted to come remain anonymous. All it was right. the alumni that did that. But we raised over $25,000. Well over 30 grand, but we have to pay our bills down for the restaurant and stuff. But well over $25,000, and all that money we raise goes to support various programs at Shurs. Like our big thing is the STLS kids, which are homeless kids, basically. And when we found out there's homeless kids at our high school, that doesn't sit well with us. So we do what we can to kind of offset and take the edge off things. And it turns out that of all the high schools in the city, which I'm sure they're all doing something on some level, it is the only all class, all years reunion that does this as a fundraiser. Nobody else does this. We've been doing it 10 years. But it was just a great event when you see people, as you know, because you go to these events, you see people reconnect and reconnect to things that are important to them. There is nothing better than that. And to help kids that we don't even know, that's a big deal for us.
That's a big deal. Oh, they are so lucky to have you and your advocacy, John. That's fantastic. Well, you know I knew it was going to be great because you've shared some of the items that were up for auction.
Oh, my gosh, it was so great.
God. But it looks like you got the crown there, though, with that comic
book. I did. I'm really, and I get all geeked up over that stuff. So here I am on Saturday night eating popcorn, having a bourbon, watching Rich do his thing. It's great.
I love it. Well, congratulations on that. That's great, great news.
Thanks.
You know, last night we went to see Peter Pan.
Oh, I just saw a commercial for that. What'd you think?
Oh, my God. It was at the Niederlander Theater, presented by Broadway in Chicago. And first of all, I love Peter Pan. I have the first edition, J.M. Barrie. I mean, I love the story. And I didn't know what to expect because it was a reimagined version. And it's only there till April 7th. And I just have three words. Go see it because go see Pan if you can because it was really magical. And there was as much going on in the audience as there was on stage because this is a must see for little kids. The kids were transfixed for 90 minutes and there was an intermission. I heard little kids going, "Oh, no, Tink, don't die," at one of the points where the little fairy got sick. And then they asked for the audience. I said, you know, the guy was holding the little Tink in his hand. He said, "Oh, Tink is dying." He says, "You know, only way she'll come back is if you can clap and applause and say, if you believe in fairies." And there was thunderous applause. I mean, everybody was fully engaged in this production. And the visuals, I'm not going to give anything else away, but the visuals were just, I mean, worth the whole price of admission. And I highly, highly recommend it. And Niederlander Theater only through April 7th. And take a little one with you if you have a you know, niece, nephew, daughter, son. Yeah. It was fabulous.
Well, from even just by the commercials, I'm like, well, that, you know, Peter Pan's been around forever, seen the movies, read all that stuff. But when every time they roll something back out, you see these new cast members, these young kids, these young people, and they look fascinating and fantastic. So that's very cool.
Absolutely magical. And, you know, Peter Pan, and sadly, God, I can't remember his name. I got to tell him. I have to share his name because he was unbelievable. Nolan Almeida, A-L-M-E-I-D-A. You know, not only did this guy have to, you know, remember all these lines and, you know, act and sing and dance, but he had to be a gymnast because he was swirling around that stage on these wires doing backflips and, you know, rollovers. And I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable.
That's
I mean,
cool.
it was a, I can't say enough about how good this production was. So anyway, I hope I talk people
I think
into
you
going
did
to
it justice.
It. Good.
See
and,
pan
you know,
if
I
you
talk...
can.
See pan if you can. And you know, I talked about last time we talked was about the spelling bee that I was so nervous about. You know,
yeah.
For, remember for Tutoring
yeah, yeah.
Chicago?
You were all worked
well,
up.
We won.
Wait, what?
We won. My team won. The premise of it is that they have, you know, six celebrities, or celebrities, that's what they call us. Anyway,
yeah.
Six celebrities, and then they have two team members, and one of the team members is connected with one of the sponsors, and the other is another person. I had, hold
you
on a minute, I have
up.
To give her name. So she was
yes.
so darling. Oh, okay, her name is Deanna Belos, B-E-L-O-S, and she's a lead singer for Sincere Engineer, and she was... one of the my team members, there was three of us, and the other guy was Rushil Cassidy, and he was with ISM. I'm telling you, I couldn't have had a better team, obviously. And they were smart as whips, and the three of us together put our little heads for the hard
mm-hmm.
questions, and we made it to the end.
Do you remember what the last word was?
Yeah, meerschaum.
Like the pipe?
Yes. Do you know how to spell meerschaum?
I'm going to say no, but I'm going to give it a shot. M-E-E-R-S-C-H-A-U-M?
Yeah. You could have won too.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. But it was really so exciting, and the crowd was fully engaged. It was a sold-out audience, and this was the fifth year that they've done this, and I had never even heard about Tutoring Chicago, but they provide free one-on-one tutoring for kids in the CPA up to
nice.
The ninth grade.
In the
so
CPS
was...
or the CPA?
CPS.
Because the CPA, they'd be working as accountants. And it might be a little early for that, but maybe
see,
not.
See, I definitely need you, John St. Augustine. But yeah, CPS, and it was really so much fun. So that was that. And on June 20th, I'm going to MC a fabulous fashion show for the Hippocratic Cancer Research Foundation. It's going to be held in Maggie Daly Park, and it'll be produced by Zazz Productions. It raises funds for... what they do is they provide funds for a cutting edge cancer research. And from what I've seen of what they've done so far, Dr. Leonidas Platanius is the lead of this cancer research thing at, I think it's Northwestern. But anyway, he has already made so many advances and made so many discoveries with these funds and with this support. So I'm really excited. I truly think that they're going to have a breakthroughs at the HCRS for cancer, a big, big breakthroughs. I have a feeling. So anyway, the website is hcrfwingstocure.org, and I hope people can come join us. Yeah, so we did that. I mean, I've done so much. I don't know what else to share with you. You know, Joy Cunningham, the
yes,
person we
spoke
to.
Your friend Joy, yes.
She won by a landslide.
Landslide.
So she'll be retained on the Illinois Supreme Court. I'm so happy for her. She is truly the real deal. And I was at her acceptance party, and oh, the crowd was so happy, and you know, little banners up there, and they had little all kinds of food, and I mean, it was really a joyous celebration.
Well, you know
a
what
joyous
I
celebration.
Yeah, what I think sealed the deal. I would see the commercials that she's on, and at the end, she folded her arms in front of her chest.
Yeah,
like,
power move.
Oh, I'm like,
power
and it was
move.
Slow motion. CJ was like, whoa.
Yeah,
that sealed the deal.
That you're so right. Those commercials were spectacular, and I met the young girl who did and produced these, and I gave her all these kudos because those were really fabulous commercials. I mean, if I wish I could remember her name too, but I can't. anyway, she was really good. And oh, what about Tavern on Rush coming back?
Oh, I know, right?
Isn't that excellent?
It's
so
exciting.
It's going to come to the Thompson Hotel this summer. It's going to have two levels, and Phil Stefani and the Stefani Restaurant Group are bringing it back, and I'm glad that they haven't gone away. I love that restaurant.
Yeah, you know, I've been there a few times over the years, and it's hard, especially as we went through the Cyrus the Virus phase where things had shut down and never came back. Every time somebody pops up, whether it's a little one or a big one, recognized or not, it's like, hooray, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. And then you saw my post about Oprah Winfrey and Chili Pepper.
I did see that.
Yeah. Chili presented Oprah with the Vanguard Award from GLAAD in L.A. And the funny thing is that Chili does not fly. So she took a 3-day train ride to L.A. to get here. She told me that she would have walked if she had to because it was such a big, big deal. So her and Oprah go way, way back.
Yes,
and
yes.
I mean, I had the privilege of meeting her at Chicago Cut Restaurant, as a matter of fact. So Chili introduced me, and
there's
but
a
I'd
picture
known her before
somewhere.
That. Yeah,
I remember.
Oh,
that.
Oh God, she was so excited, and she looked fabulous. The bad thing is that she fell on stage. And somebody said it was a bad fall, but I asked her about it, and she said, no, it was just, I fell. She said, but I bounced right back up, and one of my friends says that you're the only person I know that could upstage Oprah. So that was a cute moment. It absolutely is. So what did you do for St. Patrick's Day? I haven't talked to you in so long.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. So I'm German, so I don't kind of care.
Oh, so you didn't do anything?
Not really. It's funny. I mean, I always have that line. It's like everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Like,
not so much.
Not so much.
Well, you know, we, for the first time, I mean, obviously everybody knows about Die on the River Green. And for the first time, I was offered a Clover cruise on the first, Chicago's First Lady Clover cruise. And so Chuck and I took advantage of it. It was like you had to walk 4 million miles to get to the boat. But then you get to the boat.
Four million. Okay, million, go ahead.
And 1,700 stairwells up and down. So anyway, we finally get to the boat, and they have a little, not a Pied Piper, but they had a bagpiper. They had a bagpiper on the boat.
I kind of like Pied Piper better, but go ahead.
So they had the bagpiper. Yeah. And so we went on the boat, and they had a lovely salon underneath, you know, all carpeted and a bar. And they had, you know, they had little box corned beef lunches for everybody, which was nice. And so they partied a little bit on the dock, and then they took out to go down the river. And we saw them dying at green, and it was exciting. And the guy flashed the hoses at us, and we got to see the, you know, whatever. And the first bridge that we went under, some bastard threw a beer bottle down onto the deck.
Whoa.
I mean, and if somebody would have been standing there, they would have been killed, because it was really with force that it was thrown. And I immediately said to Chuck, I said, I don't want to stay out here in the open. I want to, you know, go obviously where the bar was. he insisted on staying, and thank God nothing else happened. But, you know, these are the things that you just don't think about when you're...
Sure.
And nowadays, everything is different. I mean, everything can be a casualty. And so that kind of took a little of the joy out of it. But it was fun to see, you know, the river being dyed and all that. But I won't.
So that was the Clover part, was because it's St. Patty's Day and it's green. They're dyeing the river.
Ah, good connection there, John. Yes,
and
indeed.
The third part was, what kind of beer bottle did the guy throw? Do you remember? No?
Oh, Chuck says it was a liquor bottle, but I thought it was
liquor
a beer
bottle. Yeah.
So
I mean, if you're going to throw a bottle, throw like a, you know, high end.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was something that was more dangerous and bigger. But,
a little heavier.
Anyway, it was scary. Yeah. I was scared. Yeah. I mean, I could have killed. And I had just been standing there, quite frankly, but I had to go take a photo. Photo saved my life.
Providence.
And let's see what else I have to tell you. The Anti-Cruelty hosted their 125th anniversary gala. They raised record-breaking sums. It's a wonderful organization. And one of the things, the dogs that they had there was this old, fat little dog. His name was Ajax, and he was kind of like the media star. He was in all the press. Have you ever heard of this Ajax story?
I have not.
Anti-Cruelty, somebody discovered him standing over his owner's deceased body, and it had been there for 2 days, and he wouldn't leave his side. And they had to pry him out of the house. But he was there with his new family, looked very happy. And so that was really a sweet ending to a sad story. And also, you know, I've told you and everybody else about these, the Wings fashion show fundraiser, where I'm going to be the honoree and Nigel Barker's going to be the MC.
Yep.
Well, they're having a pre-party at Veronica Beard, that fashion store, at 11 East Walton on Thursday, April 11th, free to the public. And if you come in and buy anything, then 15% of the proceeds will go back to the organization.
1-5.
Yeah. And
15.
I'm going to
call. Not 5-0, which is 50, which would be really interesting.
Really good. But Sylvia Perez and I and Tracy Meyer from the organization are all going to co-host. So it should be a lot of fun. And maybe people can come and say hi to us. That's April 11th, Thursday, 11 East Wall. Let me see what else I got. I got lots of news.
I don't know how you do this.
Oh,
I'm exhausted listening to you do all this.
Well,
I am.
I'm excited about all this stuff. This
I know
is fun.
You are.
Wish I could drag you with me to something anyway.
Anytime you got some sort of bourbon tasting, maybe we'll go see Big Izzy or something, right?
Yeah, well, actually, you know what? You did miss the Black Creativity Gala because they had a huge bourbon tasting.
Now you tell
station.
Me.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyway. All right. So thank you to Carol Fox and Associates. They named me a cultural catalyst, 30 women who impact Chicago's art and entertainment scenes. And listen to this. I'm in good company with Donna LaPietra.
I know her.
Yes, Leanne Trotter.
Yes.
You know Lisa Fielding.
Yeah.
Elise Passion, Andrea Darlis.
Yeah, AD, sure.
Yeah, Ellen Sandor and Brooke Flanagan. She's a former artistic director for Steppenwolf. So there's wonderful women that were chosen for this. I'm so honored to be a part of it, and that was so kind of them to include me. So thank you, Carol Fox and Associates. It's really, really was special, and I'm excited about that. So,
you know,
anyway,
every time you run down these lists of things you've done, the things you've accomplished, the things that are being given and bestowed upon you, I think, you know what? It's a long frickin' way from Dupo, sister.
Yeah, it is a long way. Well, wow. Listen, they're
very
always
cool.
In my heart, though, and I love it. What are you doing for Easter?
Well, not really sure. Kind of keep things quiet and small. Tonight we get a chance to go see my grandkids are in town.
Oh, awesome.
So I will be seeing the girls tonight. Can't wait to do that. And, you know, maybe Gramps will have a couple eggs for them, even though they can't eat them yet. They have no teeth.
Oh, well, there
smash
you go.
Them up.
Have to do a marshmallow egg.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to do anything. We're going to be, you know, same thing, low key. But, you know, I do remember all the times with past, which kind of sad, you know, all the people we've lost and all the people that's moved away. We would have these huge get-togethers with everybody great dishes. And so now we're just me, Chuck, and Penny.
And the Finches.
And the Finches. We have a new addition to the household. So there I'll be happy with that. Yeah, so it was quiet. I hope everyone out there will have a blessed Easter and do something wonderful with your family, the ones you love. And thanks for tuning in. And we're thrilled to be here on this Good Friday. And we'll talk together soon.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Candace podcast. For more of what's going on in Chicago, go to CandidCandace.com.